Well, we've been going through a series called How to Have a Relationship with God, and we're going through the book of Deuteronomy to talk about this idea. And I want to just quickly go over, I don't know if you're able to see this, maybe we'll use a different font next time. But basically, through each of the sermons, I'm wanting to try to give a main idea that talks about how we can have a relationship with God. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but just as you look at the words here, you can get a little bit of an idea of what it means to have a relationship with God. So let me just point out a couple just for an example. The second sermon in the series, we talked about how we need to continue to trust that God's way is the best way. And the one after that, we talked about how we can find our satisfaction in our God, in our Lord, through Jesus Christ. And that would cause us to freely begin to give to other people. And today what we're going to be talking about is how to complete the task that God has given to us, and to do that together. The way that we have a relationship with God is that we need to know who God is, but then as we come to understand who our God is, the way that we actually live out having a relationship with God is through times of worship. That's true. It's through times of prayer and reading the Bible. That's true. But also the way that we have a relationship with God is by having a relationship with one another. It's by obeying God and fulfilling His commands and doing that for each other. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. So why don't we turn our Bibles. Today the sermon title is called People of Valor. And we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 3. Verses 18 to 22. And so Deuteronomy is the fifth book from the beginning of the whole Bible. And if you're using one of these Bibles that you picked up from the back, we're going to be looking at page 148. Deuteronomy chapter 3, starting in verse 18 to verse 22. All right, this is the reading of God's Word. And I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess. All your men of valor shall cross over armed before your brothers, the people of Israel. Only your wives, your little ones, and your livestock, I know that you have much livestock, shall remain in the cities that I have given you, until the Lord gives rest to your brothers, as to you, and they also occupy the land that the Lord your God gives them beyond the Jordan. Then each of you may return to his possession, which I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at that time, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms into which you are crossing. You shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you. Amen. What is the church supposed to be about? Why do we gather together week after week? What's the church? I mean, even this word, as we consider this word, the word church is not just about the building, but it's talking about the gathering of God's people. So what are we doing every single week? Why do we gather together? What is the church supposed to be about? And I'm not just talking about Sundays, how we gather on Sundays, but what is church supposed to be like even throughout the week? Let me ask you, do you treat church like a temple where you come and you do your thing, prayers and maybe singing songs, but prayers especially, expecting some kind of kickback, some kind of reward or blessing? In that case, you may make yourself into your God, or you may make your desires into your God if that's what you do. If everybody in our church thought this way, then we'd have a lot of money, but everyone will be pretty selfish. Or do you treat church like it's a chore? You come just because you know that's what you're supposed to do as a Christian. And maybe it's boring, maybe it's tiring. Sometimes you just don't want to go. And you just feel still, maybe I should go because I'm a Christian. If everybody thought this way in our church, then we'd have a church full of people, but perhaps no passion, no unity, no drive. Or do you treat the church like a club? You go to meet your friends. And if you have no friends, it's just not as interesting, it's just not as necessary anymore. If everybody thought this way, then maybe we'd have a lot of fun. Or we won't, if you don't have friends. And that's just about it. And there's not much more to church. So how do you think about church? What is the church supposed to be about anyway? The church is a gathering of God's people. People of valor. People that have strength. People that are gifted with skills and abilities. Gifts from God. And we gather each week because God has given us a specific task. For our particular church even. And yes, of course, it is. We're supposed to gather to glorify God, to worship Him. But we also gather to love Him by obeying the task that He's given to us. And so the main idea for today is, as I said earlier, complete God, the God-given task, and do it together through Christ. And the 3 points that we'll be going over today are, number one, God has given you all a task. Number two, challenges of the task. And number three, completing the task through Christ. And so once again, our main idea, the thing that we're going to be talking about a lot today is complete the God-given task together through Christ. And the 3 points are God has given you all of you, a task. Number two, the challenges of the task. And number three, completing the task through Christ. Let's talk about that first idea. Actually, before we do, let's talk about a little bit of the background. How did we get to this passage and what has led up to this passage? Well, remember the Israelites are about to enter the promised land during the time that Deuteronomy is talked about. They're about to enter the promised land, and Moses is the one who gives his final speech, and that's what Deuteronomy is all about, Moses giving his final speech before they enter into the promised land. And in the beginning portion of Deuteronomy, the portion that we're in, Moses is recounting all that has happened through their journey after coming out of Egypt and how they traveled around the wilderness for 40 years. Last week we heard about how God called the people to start moving northward. And so they were down south of the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is down on the bottom here. They were south of the Dead Sea, and God called them to start moving northward. And it talked about how they were passing through the region of Edom and Moab, and God said, don't touch their land because God has not given that land to you. Now, in the section immediately preceding our passage today, we find that the Israelites actually do start to conquer some land. God says to go in and conquer some land, and they conquer the land of the Amorites and Bashan. And there are two specific kings that are mentioned, King Sihon and King Og. And they completely destroy all the inhabitants of these two lands. And so they take over this land. There's no one that's left over in these two lands. And so the land that they occupy are this area where you see this reddish-orangish outline and also this bluish outline. And what ends up happening is that 2.5 tribes of Israel are given this land. And you might be able to see it. It says Reuben, Gad, and 1/2 of the tribe of Manasseh. And so the land is already distributed to 2.5 tribes of Israel. And so this is the backdrop of where we come into today's passage. where Moses is now going to speak specifically to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. So, what was the task for the two and a half tribes, these two and a half tribes? What was the task that was given to these tribes? So this is from our passage today. It says, "And I commanded you at that time," so Moses is speaking to the two and a half tribes, "saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess. All your men of valor shall cross over armed before your brothers, the people of Israel. Only your wives, your little ones, and your livestock," and I know that you have much livestock, and he says that because they just conquered the king, these two kings, and they killed off all the people, but then they kept all of the livestock for themselves, and so they have a lot of livestock now. It says, "I know you have a lot of livestock, and they shall remain, your children and your wives and the livestock shall remain in the cities that I have given you, until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as to you, and they also occupy the land that the Lord your God gives them beyond the Jordan. Then each of you may return to his possession, which I have given you." So what was the task? Basically, the task was that they were to go west of the Jordan with the other tribes, with the other nine and a half tribes, to help them conquer the rest of the promised land. They're supposed to cross the Jordan, but not just go with them, they're supposed to go ahead of the other tribes. They're supposed to go before and even act as leaders to go into the promised land and fight with the other nine and a half tribes. And it calls all the soldiers, all the men of valor, to come and to fight. And so what that means probably is that this does not include the children that are not of age to fight yet, so they'll be left behind. And maybe, one commentary suggested, that maybe this also included older men who were past fighting age. And so they were left behind also. Again, that's just from one commentary. And so besides these people, all people, all the men of the two and a half tribes who were of fighting age were to go with the people of Israel, the rest of the people of Israel, and to go and fight and conquer the rest of the land. And so they were leaving their family, and they were leaving all their wealth behind. So what are some implications and principles that we find from these passages? You know, I ask this question because, you know, none of us here, I don't think, none of us are going to go and conquer some land. I don't think you guys are planning on going and killing some people to claim some land to yourselves. And so we have to draw some of the principles that are coming out of this passage to see how the Lord is speaking to us today. And so as we look at our passages today, some of the principles that we find are that, number one, the Lord has already blessed. And so for the specific people in Israel here, the two and a half tribes, God already blessed them with land. The two and a half tribes already have land. They have a home. They have much cattle. They have a lot of wealth. And so they're settled. And so it'd be very, very easy for them just to say, "All right, we're done. God has blessed us. Let's not do anything else." But God doesn't stop there. He doesn't say, "All right, I've blessed you." But the next principle is that the Lord gives a task. And so God doesn't just say, "All right, you guys are done. You guys can rest now." But God says, "Now that your portion is done, there's still work to do. There's something more to do. If you have been blessed in this way, then you need to also go in and seek to bless your brothers by helping them conquer the land." And so there is a task that's given. And this task is a sacrificial task. You know, they already had their land. And so if they already had their land, they could have thought, "My work is done." But God says, "No, this is a task that I'm giving to you. Even if you've already received everything that you've been looking for, I want you to leave all those things behind and continue the work that I've given to you. It's a work that's sacrificial, and actually it's tied to the next few principles where they're going to help their brothers. They're going to serve their brothers by doing this task. And so that means it's a sacrificial type of giving. It's a sacrificial type of help. Well, let's go on to the next implication, the next principle. Number three, the Lord provides skills and gifts. Okay, so this idea is where the people have men of valor. They have the skills to be able to go in and fight with their brothers. And so the idea here is that they are not only skilled, not only do they have the ability to fight, but then they have the armor, they have the material things to be able to go in and fight. And so the Lord gives people a task, but also gives the skills and the gifts to be able to accomplish that task. The next principle is that the Lord's task for us is to help the brothers, even as leaders. And so if the Lord has blessed you, the Lord also gives you a task to not just do things in the church or in this world, not just to do things for your own gain, but to do things in a way to help others, especially to help your brothers and sisters in Christ. And perhaps even to step up as leaders. And again, this principle comes out of the idea that where Moses says to the people, and it's God's word to the people, to go before the other tribes, to go before them into the promised land, and to start fighting first. The next principle is that the Lord will protect and take care of your family and possessions. And so the Lord, Moses calls these 2.5 tribes to leave your family behind. And he says, the commentaries give different reasons as to why this is a command that's given. And maybe even why it's an idea of comfort. But one idea that was given was that, you know, if they had to bring their children and their wives, their families, and all the cattle along with them to fight, then there's this danger that they might lose them because there's a battle that's going on. But then the other idea is that if they are left behind, then there is this idea that they're trusting that God will take care of them even as they go to fight. And one commentary mentions, and you can find this in other passages, that the battle, the fighting that happened in the Promised Land actually lasted for 7 years. It lasted a long time. And so throughout that whole time, they had to trust that the Lord was taking care of their family and all their wealth. The next principle is that the Lord's goal in bringing help to their brothers, in doing this task, the Lord's goal was to bring rest. To bring rest to the brothers and sisters in Christ. And along with that, the next principle is that, so as people go in to fight, as these 2.5 tribes go in to fight, they may be feeling, I could be resting. Why do I have to get up and fight for my brothers? Why do I have to do this? Well, the idea is that God wants you to complete this task to help others come to rest, knowing also, number seven, that the Lord will bring you back home. The Lord will also give you rest. And so right now is the time to fight. But look forward to the rest that the Lord will give you. And the last principle, the last idea, is that the Lord is the one who will do the work. Now, these are principles that we can keep in mind also. That the Lord has blessed you. That the Lord has given you life. And I want to speak specifically to the Christians. Those of you that call yourself a Christian, that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has already blessed you. God has given you life. God has given you a relationship with Himself. Jesus has made a way so that you have a relationship with God. God has already blessed you. He says that you can know peace and rest and His love and His grace. God has already blessed you. But He doesn't leave you just to enjoy the blessings for yourself. God has given you a task. And God has given you skills and gifts to be able to complete that task. And that particular task is to bless your brothers and sisters in Christ, to help one another, to love one another, to grow together, to build up the church, to use the gifts that God has given you to build up the church. God has blessed you so that you would continue in this task. And you can know also that all those things that you may normally worry about, God will take care of. God will protect and guide and strengthen all the things that are around you and will give you everything that you need to be able to complete this task so that you don't have to worry about whether you're lacking or not. The Lord's goal is to bring rest to His people. And that may come in the form of encouraging brothers and sisters in the church so that they can be reminded of the rest that we have in the Lord. Or it could come in the form of looking for those future brothers and sisters in Christ who don't know the Lord yet, those people that don't believe in Jesus Christ, to look for those people and to share the gospel with them so that they can also find rest in the Lord. And also, we have the promise. Christians, we have the promise that the Lord will bring us rest one day. Right now is not that time to rest. Yes, of course, we do rest on Sundays, on our Sabbath. Yes, we intentionally take the time to rest. Every night, God has provided us with sleep so that we can rest. Yes, there are times of rest, but our ultimate rest is not right now. God still has a task for us, but we can look forward to a future rest, a future home, knowing that the Lord is the one that's doing all this work. So what is our task specifically? Again, I don't know if this is very clear for you guys, but let me just quickly go over this. Our task is to, towards unbelievers, is for us to be a witness to this world, to be a witness of Jesus Christ's death and His resurrection. We are to be witnesses that God does exist. We are to be witnesses that we are sinners without grace, without hope, if there was no such thing as Jesus Christ. But we are to be witnesses that Jesus Christ has come and that He has made Himself to be a sacrifice so that our sins would be forgiven. And not only that, we are to be witnesses that Jesus Christ is not still dead, but He has risen from the dead, and He is alive today, actively working in our lives through the Spirit. We are to be witnesses of these things. What is our task? It's to be witnesses. But also, our task includes making disciples. To believers, we're supposed to help each other grow in the Lord. We're supposed to make disciples of unbelievers, but then also we're supposed to help each other grow and make disciples of one another. The church's task is to make disciples. And so, this is found in Matthew 28. And so, making disciples, once again, means that we want to be concerned for one another. We want to continue to lift up one another and encourage one another, pray for one another, love one another. We gather together, we encourage one another, we praise God, and we thank Him for His love that's shared among us. So this is the church's task. So if I were to summarize some of these things, it's not just about sharing the gospel. Our task, the church's task, is not just about sharing the gospel, but the church's task is for us to build each other up, to build up the church community. There are a lot of people today that don't believe in the church anymore, even if they call themselves Christian. There are a lot of missionaries out there that don't put a lot of emphasis on the church, but they put a lot of emphasis on their own task. There are a lot of people that are just so disillusioned by how they've been hurt by people in the church. And I've heard of so many people around the world, but especially in Korea, there are so many people that are so hurt by the church. And I know this because I have friends in Korea. I have family in Korea who talk about how even though there's so many Christians in Korea, but so many of them don't go to church because they've lost hope in the church because of how terrible Christians are. But the church's task, what God's word says, is that we need to place importance on this church body. We need to remember that it's through the church that God will do His work. We need to put emphasis on our gathering together. We need to think about not just coming into this service, not just so that I can worship God, not just so that individuals can worship God, but we need to emphasize how we together are God's people. We need to be building each other up. We need to be helping one another. We need to be growing together. We are blessed. We have found rest in the Lord, that we together as a church may bless one another and also usher others into the Lord's rest for God's glory. Our particular church's way of saying this idea is that we want to be a church that sees the international community of Taiwan experience gospel renewal for the glory of God in Taipei and beyond. That's what our church's particular task is. We want to see the international community of Taiwan experience gospel renewal for the glory of God. What does that mean for you guys as individuals? As individuals, what that means is that we need to remind ourselves of the way that we've been blessed in the Lord. And as we remind ourselves, another way of saying this is that we preach the gospel to ourselves. We remind ourselves of what God, what Jesus Christ has already done for us. And as we remind ourselves of this, we take steps of faith in obedience to bless one another, to love one another, to pray for one another, to encourage each other. What that also means is that you seek to confess your sins when you are aware of your sins. What that means is that you seek to forgive one another when people are confessing their sins, that you seek to forgive them. What that means is that we continue to care for each other, not to keep a distance from each other, but to actually move toward one another. Seek to do your best to bless one another, to help each other with what God has gifted you with the skills and the gifts, the passions that you may have, the abilities that you have. Use these things to bless one another so that as we do this, other people will begin to see the good works in our midst and they will begin to glorify God and people will come to know the Lord. But it's not easy to do this. What are some of the challenges that we may face? We come to our second point. What are some of the challenges that we may face as we seek to fulfill, to complete the task that God has given to us? Well, some of you may say, I'm afraid that a person will hurt me. If I try to bless other people, if I allow myself to get close to other people, I'm afraid that other people will hurt me again. How can I forgive, especially if they continue to hurt me over and over again? Well, we go back to the first point, the first principle. The Lord has already blessed you. He has forgiven you and poured out His love on you. So remember that, and you choose to begin to forgive and to do that over and over again. Some of you might say, I'm afraid I might not be able to do what I want. I have my ideas for my life. I want to be able to fulfill some things. Well, that's the second principle here. God has given you a task. Focus on what God has given you to do. And it may come out through your work. It may come out through the passions and the goals that you might have. It may come out in that way, but the priority has to be, what has God given you to do? Focus on the task that God has given to you. And remember, we already talked about what that task is. And so it's not for you to just try to think of a particular task for you individually. God has already given us a task. Some of you might say, I'm afraid I'm not able to. I don't feel I'm worthy, or I'm not ready, or I'm just shy. Principle number three says, the Lord gives you the skills and the gifts that you need, so act in faith. Obey in faith, knowing that God has already given you everything that you need. Some of you might say, I'm afraid if I focus on the church community, I won't have time for my family or my work. Who's going to take care of them? And I just want to say that that could be a legitimate reason, a legitimate thing to be thinking about, but also consider carefully principles 4 and 5. God will take care of your needs, and God has given you a task to care for each other and to do that together. And so another way of saying that is that as we come together and as we seek to care for one another, and as you're concerned about your family, remember that there are other brothers and sisters in the church that can also help and assist in blessing your family. And so God will do this work. Some of you might say, I'm afraid that I won't be able to get along with other church people. And there could be a lot of different reasons, but, you know, some people might say because other people in the church are weird. Or other people in the church are just, I'm just not able to get along with them. Our personalities don't match. Principle number 4 says, the Lord's task is to help the brothers. In other words, that person, no matter how weird or how much you feel like you're not able to get along with them, they are your brother or sister in Christ, whom Christ has died for. Some of you might say, I'm afraid that people will just be fake or be hypocrites. Again, they are your brothers and sisters in Christ. You don't have to be afraid, but respond with faith. And sometimes responding with faith means to help point out some of the sins that they might be struggling with, but to do it with love and patience and gentleness. They are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of you might say, I'm afraid I might not be able to relate to other people outside the church. If we're called to be witnesses, I'm afraid I'm not able to relate with some of them. Or some of you have even said, you know, I'm afraid that if I go out and make friends with unbelievers, they might corrupt me. Remember, principles 1 and 3. God will give you what you need. God has already blessed you. He will protect you. God has forgiven you. Some of you might say, I'm afraid I might get burnt out. It just seems tiring to keep doing this stuff. Principles 6 and 7. God's goal, the task that God wants for you to do, the ultimate goal of that task is to bring others to rest. But also remember that the Lord will bring rest to you. there is a future rest that we can look forward to. Right now, our lives are just but a mist. It's just a breath. Our lives will go like this. Right now is a time to work. Right now is a time to complete the task. Our time for rest is coming. And some of you might say, what if I'm just not able to do this? What if I'm not able to complete the task? I'm afraid that I'm not able to complete the task. Will the Lord be offended, or will He be angry with me that I'm not able to? Last principle. The Lord will do the work. The Lord is the one that's doing the work through you. Now, I've listed off these challenges that we might face. And some of you guys might identify with some of these challenges. And some of you are really trying to fight against some of these challenges, and they come in the form of a temptation. And you're really wanting to fight against these temptations, and sometimes you fall, and sometimes you do well, and you're able to fight against these temptations. And I know that all of us here, we've had some of these challenges as temptations, or maybe we've fallen into these temptations before. And I want to remind everyone, and I also want to speak to you that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When some of these challenges come, and we don't respond by trusting in the Lord and trusting who God is and trusting in these principles. If we don't trust in the Lord, and then we end up relying on these fears to guide our lives, to determine how we make decisions. When we rely on these fears, what that means is that we've taken our eyes off of our God. We've chosen to not believe in His truth and who He is, and we've rebelled against Him, and we've chosen to do things our own way. In other words, you are choosing to rebel against God. You are choosing to live a life without God in the picture. And for Christians, I just want to say, for us, they do come in forms of temptations. These challenges do come in forms of temptations. And if we're honest with ourselves, there are times, moments, not on a whole, but moments here and there where we find ourselves rebelling against God also. And so if God's people fall into some such temptations, how are we ever to complete the task? Well, we come to our last point. Completing the task through Christ. Jesus is the one who is completing the task. And in fact, Jesus is the one who did complete the task already. In our passage today, in verse 28, it says, "But charge Joshua..." It says, "And I commanded Joshua at that time, 'Your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms into which you are crossing.'" The command was given to Joshua. And yes, Joshua did go in. And yes, they did conquer the land. Yes, they did do all these things. But the people of God continued to fall into sin. And Jesus, who is greater than Joshua, has come. Jesus completed the task of finally bringing true rest to His people. Jesus was the one that completed the task, not fearing anything, not giving into any of these temptations, not fearing anything, but trusting in what the Father promised. Jesus completed the task of conquering sin and death for the glory of God the Father, that we may be brought to rest, that we may be saved. So even if we do fall into sin, even if we do give into these temptations, remember what Jesus Christ has accomplished. We don't have to focus on our guilt. We don't have to focus on our shame. But we can focus on our forgiveness. We can focus on the fact that Jesus Christ elevates us to a status of being children of God. And of course, there are times that God will work in our lives to continue to shape us, continue to show us how we need to change to become more like Christ. But as we do get reminded of these things, we can remember and not hold on to that guilt and the shame that we feel. But we can focus on Jesus Christ and how He has given us forgiveness. And remember the status that He's given to us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "As you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." God has blessed you. God has made you His children. God has made you a royal priesthood, a chosen people, with a task, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And when we find ourselves falling into temptation once again and we're concerned about whether or not we're able to complete the task, remember it's Jesus who completed the task and who will continue to do His work through His people. Just as God has said in the past, "For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction." And what He's saying is, I'm doing the work in you to change you. I'm doing the work in you for my own sake. For my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. So brothers and sisters, do not fear. As Moses was reminding Joshua, "You shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you." Do not fear the challenges that we face, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you. And I encourage you, do not fear, but trust that God is on your side, and take steps of faith, obey, bless one another, love one another. Don't make church just about you and God, but really be concerned and let's grow together as a church. And when you know what the right thing is to do, the right way to think, when you're reminded of these ways that God has shown through His Word, take steps to obey. Trust that God's Word is true and good, and take steps to obey. Just the last few application points. How do we really practice this? How do we start to practice this? The first thing is commit to the church gathering. I'm not just talking about Sundays. I'm talking about community groups. If you're not part of a community group of our church, please, I want to really strongly encourage you. Try to find a way to get involved in a community group. And if you find it very difficult to get involved in the community groups that we already have, send a message to the church and tell us what your situation is, and so that we can help you be a part of a community group. Be committed. Get committed to the church gathering. Second, encourage people also to be committed to the church. I know a lot of us here are connected with a bunch of other brothers and sisters all around Taiwan, all around Taipei. Some of you guys know people from other churches. Some of you guys know of some Christians that aren't part of any church, but they're Christians. You can be a reminder for them how important it is to be connected to a church body. You need to be the one to go out and continue to stress the importance of the church body, to be committed to a church community. And lastly, with faith in Christ, third, consider how God has equipped you to serve the church. Take some time to think through that. Take some time how God has equipped you and think about how you can serve the church. And lastly, with faith in Christ, choose to obey the call to complete the task. I just want to encourage all of you, brothers and sisters, no matter how young or how mature you are in the faith, this is God's word for you. And I want to encourage you to be committed to this church community, to continue to grow. Commit to confessing sins to one another. Commit to forgiving one another. Commit to growing together. And let's commit together to be a church community that sees the international community of Taiwan experience gospel renewal for the glory of God. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for your word, where you call us to be involved in the task that you've given to us, to be your light, to be a witness, and also to make disciples of your people. Lord, allow us to take steps of faith using our skills and abilities to be involved in the church, not just to be onlookers, not just to be observers, Lord, to really be involved in the church, because that's the task that you've given to us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would cause all of us to respond with faith for your glory. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.